Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Chris Evans here, and welcome to the Best of the Breakfast Show podcast with Sky from Virgin Radio. Coming up, the always slick and gorgeous Rick Astley brings the Marinus in the midst of his swinging Christmas concerts. TV superstar Stacey Solomon turns the pages on her crafty new book, Tap to Tidy at Pickle Cottage. That's her house where she lives. It's a farm, actually. And BBC One special, Stacey Solomon's Crafty Christmas. Plus, awesome actor James Norton gives us the lowdown on the third and final series of Happy Valley on BBC One, and National Treasure actual Basil Brush aims for a Christmas number one with his new single Boom Boom It's Christmas Again. All of that and so much more to come. So Vassos, please kick things off and tell us who's first.
There are some things our next guest will never do: give you up, let you down, run around, desert you. But here is a thing he will do: perform Rick Astley's Swinging Christmas at the Royal Albert Hall tomorrow and Friday. So, rather aptly, matter-of-factly, let's welcome Rick Astley!
Good morning, Rick! How are you?
Good morning. I'm very, very well, thank you. I am very well. I'm up in Liverpool right now. Yeah, I'm really good.
So you gigged last night in Liverpool doing this show. How was it, my friend?
It was amazing. It's kind of a little bit nerve-wracking, obviously, because it's very, very much not my normal show, let's put it that way. But I just loved it. And the orchestra were absolutely amazing. We'll have the same guys and girls as us at the Albert Hall. So we're ready and rocking already. And yeah, it was just fantastic. It was so Christmassy. We sang a few Christmas songs, obviously. It was just lovely. It was really, really great.
And because it's not your usual shtick, it's not your usual lane, you know, as you alluded to there, not that you need it at all, but is there some level of potential forgiveness within the audience?
I hope so.
And is that sort of bolstered by the fact it's Christmas and everybody's there for a party and it's very much a sort of sing-along as well as a swing-along?
Yeah, there is. Obviously, I think it is a fun thing to do. And obviously, I mean, talking about the Albert Hall, especially the whole lead-up to Christmas, all their shows at Christmas, really good fun. I've been many times and seen the carol singing there and all sorts. But I also think to myself that everybody knows the songs that we're singing. All because I'm only doing the big swing songs. I'm not doing anything kind of left of centre. I'm doing the stuff that everybody knows. And we all know them. They're in our DNA somewhere. My dad used to sing. That's kind of why I'm doing it. My dad used to sing them. And the only problem is I learned all my dad's words. So he used to change the words somewhat, let's say. And so I've kind of got them in my DNA, but I'm trying to kind of sing the original words. And but to be honest, it's just a bit of fun. I just love doing it. I love being in front of that orchestra, and it just feels great.
Yeah, and amazing venues as well. Great time of year. I know you love Christmas. I know you love a Christmas gig. I've had the good fortune to experience a couple of those with you, and you love a party. Now, I'm only guessing this, Rick, because I know that famously that you and Lena only text when you're on tour. Mm-hmm. Especially the morning after a gig the night before. But you sound like you may have had a little bit of a post-show party yourself last night.
I wouldn't say we didn't have a party, but I think we all needed a glass of wine, let's say that. I mean, but we didn't have any emergency services. It wasn't that bad. But I love that, by the way, emergency services. There you go. I have one of them, yeah. We had a glass of wine last night, and we also had a Jaeger before we went on with the whole orchestra, which was great.
Oh, wow.
It's just like a ritual that my band and myself go through every time we do a gig. We have a little shot of Jaeger, even on a breakfast show, you know, on the radio.
It
is Christmas. You are allowed a glass of wine, and we all wanted to talk about it as well, to be honest. That was the thing. It was so amazing. I've got to be honest, it's one of the weirdest things to stand in front of 50 people and sing, because I'm so used to doing it with my band, which obviously is a lot smaller than that. And when you get up there with the strings and the brass and they're all playing those amazing things and Malcolm who's conducting, it's like it's an absolute joy to do it. I'm so privileged to do it. I understand that. And I just really love it. And obviously the Albert Hall is probably the ultimate venue in the world to do it in. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing. Really looking forward to it.
Is this like a speed date for something maybe more sort of substantial in the future, do you think?
Maybe. We have talked about it a little bit. I mean, it's something I would love to do for sure. It's just a big undertaking. And I think also it's that thing that when you just do a few of them and it's Christmas, like you say, everyone's kind of, I'm not going to say rooting for you when they're in the room, but they're, as you say, they're a little bit more forgiving because it's Christmas. We're singing Christmas songs. And also I think a lot of the big swing numbers, like the Sinatra numbers that we do and stuff like that, people sing along as well. So if you could get a word or two, you can kind of throw them the mic. So, but to actually go out on tour with it, I'd love to do it. We'll have to see. We'll have to see what happens next year, I guess.
Well, you could do the whole of December, couldn't you? Now that you know that three dates. No, but you could though. I mean, it'd be hard work, but you'd love it. And also, it's about spreading joy. Rick, I'm going to say this now. You can cover your ears if you like. Whenever Rick's played Carfest for us, you know, certain bands charge a fee and certain bands don't, and some give us discount and some don't. And, you know, it's all's fair in love and showbiz, no question about that. But Rick never charges us a penny and always pays for his whole band to go. And you know, Rick is a man of faith, and you are all about paying it forward, aren't you, Rick?
Well, that's very, very nice of you to say that. But I also feel, like I say, I've been extremely lucky, and I still regard going on a stage as a privilege. And that might sound a bit corny and a bit wet for people, but I don't take it any other way. There's so few people get the chance to do that, especially at the level that I've managed to do it here and there. And I kind of think you have to remember that. And I think for the idea of giving a little bit back every now and again, that balances the checkbook for me. It's kind of like not just financially, but also just, I think, mentally and emotionally. Do you know what I mean? Listen, Carfest is such an amazing event. I would do that for nothing anyway. It's just an amazing feeling. And it's a beautiful audience, and it really is a special thing, Carfest. I think it's been a little beacon, I think, in our year when we've managed to do it and stuff, because it's a beacon of light, though, because it's just it's an amazing audience. It really is, because somewhere in the back of people's minds, everyone knows why they're there. It's not just for the music. It's not just for the cars. They know somewhere something really, really good is happening because of that event, and that's beautiful, I think.
It's funny because Rick jumped on the show today, I suppose mostly because I just asked him to. There are 9 tickets available for Thursday night at the Royal Albert Hall. That's it. So if you want one of those 9 tickets, Friday sold out. RoyalAlbertHall.com for the funnest night out you could ever imagine ahead of Christmas. And I hope he just makes it a regular thing. He's still on the line, by the way. You know, I just hope he comes and spreads joy the whole of Christmas from now until he won't be able to do that anymore. Rick, I love talking to you. I love knowing you. Give my love to Lena. Have the greatest Christmas ever, and keep doing what you're doing. You're awesome. You're awesome.
Thank you. Same to you. I will throw that back at you, baby. Back at you.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
She cleaned up on X Factor, swept the floor in I'm a Celeb, polished off loose women, and now she's tidying up round yours, although she's currently snowed in at hers. Her latest book, Tip Tap to Tidy at Pickle Cottage, is out now. So if your place is a tip, she's got a tap that'll have you tip top. Please welcome the well neat Stacey Solomon.
That was nearly brilliant. Hello, Stacey. Ho, ho, ho.
What a lovely introduction.
It was lovely, wasn't it? And Stacey, you've bothered to go outside. You're on your iPad or whatever you're on in the snow, snowed in on your farm. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm just at my house because no one will drive anywhere near here at the moment. So right. I'm going to London. I promise it's not you, Sinead. I was really excited to come and give you a cuddle.
Well, she says that she's been advised by her lawyers. That's probably the best way to open the interview. So, Stacey, how snowed in are you, and how long has the snow been falling for where you are in Essex?
It's only been since last night, because I got back from work last night and it started snowing. But it's ridiculous. I've never seen anything like it. We haven't had snow like this in so long. The kids obviously do not want me to go inside, so we're just staying outside the entire day.
Oh, good for you. So they've got a snow day, so no school going down for those kids.
No school. They're all at home.
And by the way,
freezing. I'm sure they'll be crying soon. You know what it's like. It all starts out very exciting.
By the way, Stacey and her partner, Joe, are giving the Von Trapps a run for their money. They've got five kids between them, one way or another now. So congratulations for that. Five all, as far as we're concerned there, Stacey. So Tap to Tidy, for people who don't know, what is Tapping to Tidy?
Do you know what? It's basically just me taking a picture of something before, tidying it up, and then taking a picture of it after. And I just called it Tap to Tidy because it was so satisfying. And I love doing it so much. And it's just become something, I think. Well, for me, it's the thing.
Of course it is.
Maybe not for anyone else.
It's Stacey Solomon's book, Tap to Tidy. Great Christmas present. Tap to Tidy at Pickle Cottage. And we're speaking to her live now at Pickle Cottage. Crafting and creating a home with love. Because, you know, people tap now to help themselves, to help calm themselves. Is there any of that going on? Is there a trigger tap as well? Or is it just a phrase?
It's just a phrase. But for me, I think I definitely even... So the Tap to Tidy at Pickle Cottage is about when we bought the cottage and started doing DIY on it and whatever we could within the house. And I absolutely loved it. And so that's what Tap to Tidy Pickle Cottage is about. And I think there is definitely something in that that is therapeutic and relaxing and takes your mind away from everything else, you know, and you think to yourself, oh, I could really do it with like a moment of silence. That's what I'll do, is I'll do something like either crafty. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Poor Stacey. The last thing she needs is an interview right now. But it's so good. Like in the first few pages, cladding walls, even wonky old ones, a couple of pages on that, how to choose paint colours, where to start. I love the downstairs blue, Lou. I'm so proud of it. We've just redone our downstairs, Lou. And my wife made such a big deal about, you know, thinking about it and planning it, Stacey, right? And I'm thinking...
It's the most important thing.
I know. And I didn't know where she was coming from. Anyway, it's done now. It's complete. And it's such a joy to be in. I didn't think it could possibly be. You know, I can't wait to get home to have another pee. That's done it for her. That's it. She's fallen off. I bet one of the kids has just hit her iPad with a snowball. I guarantee that's what's happened there. Cladding walls, even old wonky ones. It's great, this book. It is good. This is like the first 20 pages. Little things that I love. Saws, hacksaw, jigsaw, chop saw. Fall in love with your tools, you know, and then sort of start to curate and to collect tools and to love and cherish them and pick where they're going to go and, you know, use your newest tool to screw or hang the nails in your shed or your garage to get your sort of tool Damien Hirst kind of thing going on. Do you know what I mean? It can all be beautiful, can't it?
Oh, I remember this in real time. Like, I was watching her Instagrams when she was doing that downstairs toilet and when she was creating all the kids' bedrooms and stuff. So it's actually quite amazing to see it all in the book now.
I wish we'd have instead our downstairs toilet now that you've said that. Because Tasha's gone with... Because we inherited this downstairs toilet that had this sort of horrible 70s marble to it. But then what she's done is she's picked some vintage wallpaper, you know, and Dan the decorator's got busy there. And then Bob the Builder's fashioned some sort of bespoke little shelves just for the soap and things and for the toilet rolls. And suddenly you just... It's like a little time machine. It's a time machine of comfort room joy.
And that people...
Comfort break joy.
People love that on Instagram or like social media when you see like a transformation of a room, and I think that's why hers has become so popular, because she's done most of it herself as well.
All right, well, she's snowballed the kids back and she's back on the line. Come in again, Stacey.
Sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
Well, we thought one of your kids has snowballed your iPad. That's what we were thinking.
I feel like the snow is just interfering with my signal, so I'm trying to walk around and make sure I get a good one.
Stacey,
I'm sorry.
We're so grateful that you're even bothering.
No, I'm so grateful that you're even having me on the show. I love coming on, I wish I could have come into the studio.
Well, there's always time. We can make up for that. Don't worry about that. Seriously, if you want to come in next week for a longer chat, that's fine. Not that we're done with you yet. I remember the first time that Al Pacino appeared on screen with Robert De Niro, right? I remember the first time the Guardians of the Galaxy got together, you know, and what has come of these amazing meetings. I remember the story of how Rolls met Royce. Is it true that you and Mrs. Hinch are getting together for a TV show?
Yeah.
Oh my God, goodness. This could melt all the minkies in the world.
You are. I've been asking her and trying to get her on to Sort Your Life Out for so long.
Yes.
And I finally managed to convince her, so she's doing an episode with us. And she's so brilliant and funny and smart. And honestly, She's I love her to pieces. I'm so excited. When we get together as well, we are the saddest people on earth.
Well, do you have a clean off, a tidy off?
Literally, we're just like, oh, look what we can do here. We can organise this. We can scrub that.
That could be cleaner. Really? No, let's give it a go.
Oh, God, so
I'd
sad.
Love to be a part of that.
Of course you would. Stacey,
you'll have to come on the next episode.
Stacey, you know she's absolutely in love with you. Like, properly in love with you.
Do you know what? The feeling's mutual, I'll be honest with you. I love listening to your voice.
Well, no, listen, out of all the famous people in the world, you and Mrs. Hinch are the only two that I DM after I've had a glass of wine. messages are quite funny.
I'm going to go and find them now.
Yeah, nothing to worry about there.
Don't know if you should.
No, maybe just forget. Why don't you unsay that? Yeah. Or maybe just unhear it, Stacey. That'd be great. Listen, we got to go, Stacey. Please come and see us. We're here till Christmas if you're around next week or whatever in the new year. Don't really mind, but it's great to have you on the show.
I can't wait to come down and see.
Yes.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, you're very welcome. We're just going to leave it there because the link is getting dodgier and dodgier as the snow continues to fall around Pickle Cottage in the deepest, I won't say darkest, because it's lightest when it's snowy, isn't it? It's much lighter in the morning when it's snowy, isn't it?
I know you hardly needed boat lights at all this morning. Yep.
Especially if you didn't have a bike. You don't have a bike.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
He's the devilishly handsome anti-hero of an iconic drama who, for some reason, my wife Caroline was very keen to come in and meet this morning. He returns in the final series of Happy Valley on BBC One on New Year's Day. So please welcome a man whose 007 odds continue to shorten. It's Norton. James Norton.
Very good, wasn't it?
Very good. I've not heard that one before. Wow.
Hello, James.
Chris, hello. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
How was the commute?
We were just talking about commute was a little chilly. I'm a diehard cyclist and I'm staying in Chiswick at the moment and I didn't realise it was about 10 miles. So yeah, my hands are slightly chilly, but I'm good.
How was the surface? Because I was running in today and Vassos was cycling in today, and yesterday in the slush it was less hazardous than it was today because the slush has turned to ice.
It depends what time you leave.
Right.
It was -3 when I left,
right,
and the smaller roads are a little hairy, yeah.
Okay.
But also cycling in the cold is great because you don't turn up. Usually I turn up dripping with sweat and now I'm just cold.
Feel awake?
I feel a little awake. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you have any gloves on?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
You had gloves on.
And I were talking. Yeah.
Oh my goodness me.
My God, yeah.
Did you serpentine this morning as well?
Oh
my.
He does
that as well.
Oh, I'm into that.
He's got all that going on.
Are you?
Yeah. Every morning, wow. Serpentine, 5 a.m. It's not, and this is what
not,
this is what I live for.
It's not every morning.
It's the -3 days.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm really into that as well. We should talk about that another time. Maybe not right now.
Let's talk about it now. Come on. Have you ice bathed?
I have. I did that first time about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Was it ice in it, or was it brass monkey, or
no? It was ice. Ice in the paddling pool.
Ice in the paddling pool.
With the Wim Hof thing. I did the kind of day
Wim
of meditation.
Hof thing. Good for you, James.
Oh, thanks.
Well, welcome. Here we are, 6/7 years on from the second series of Happy Valley. Vassos hadn't watched series 1 or series 2, and he thought it was a rom com. So he went to tune in last night.
And then,
follow the joys of spring.
And the what's happened so far took me a bit by surprise, I'll be honest.
Because there's us, we're catching up with the White Lotus, aren't we? Thinking, similar vein, here we go. Not at all. So, James, was Series 3 always going to happen then?
I think so. I think Sally and Sarah, certainly Sally wanted to leave a gap after the second series, and I remember we were at the BAFTAs and she was like, I think we'll see you in a few years' time. And so we had the inkling, and I think everyone wanted to come back. Her intention was to let Reese, the actor who plays Ryan, grow up so that he have more agency and then would have...
And maybe, play the same guy playing the
We all thought that, we thought 7 years is nothing. We all kind of came back, no one had changed. And then this like brute of a man walked in, and the guy playing my little boy is now 6 foot and a huge man.
So can you frame it, if you don't mind, could you frame it for people who don't know, like Vassos, who might want to catch up? Because you can catch up with everything now on the BBC iPlayer, can't you? Series 1 and 2 before Series 3.
Yeah, you can. And they're pushing that. And I think it's worth going back, hopefully, because there's so much nuance and, you know, there's so many different relationships to kind of immerse yourself in. I don't want to give away too much to Vassos for the second series.
Exactly.
But you find basically all the characters moved on, and like, a lot of happens in 7 years, obviously. For Tommy... his life's been pretty small.
So this is your character?
My character, who, if you've watched 1 and 2, not giving anything away, he's now locked up. And so he's been obsessing about the two kind of parts of his life, the son he loves and the woman he hates, and he's becoming more and more obsessed about those two different kind of binary
aims. Whilst remaining incarcerated.
While remaining incarcerated and growing his locks. It's true to Sally's form, she always likes to give me a really novel look, and this time she went for Jesus, so you can see the kind of scar on the head and the big hair. And
she did that on purpose. That's a
Sally's stage directions are brilliant.
Right.
She sort of directs and kind of conceives, and she has this quite playful. You know, a lot of stage directions can be quite dry. Sally's are very, very funny, and in there was a very direct instruction to make Tommy look like.
Right, cue the fangirl.
I loved it.
I know.
I love Happy Valley. I was very excited that it was back for you playing that character again, 6-7 years on. How familiar is he to you? Like, how quickly do you jump back into him, and how much time do you spend thinking about what he's been doing for the last 6-7 years?
Good question.
I mean, we did have to, we all discussed what had happened in the interim 7 years, and for the other actors, of course, life had moved on in a much bigger way because they had their full life, so they there was a lot more to fill in. For me, as I said, it was about kind of going back to those two different, the extremes of love and hate, and just meditate. He must have spent 7 years just meditating on those two different things. So I've never had that before where you jump back into a character. There's something lovely about a repeating series because you feel empowered and you've got this bank of memories like a human being would have. And so you kind of have an instinct, you know, what they might do in a certain scenario. So that feels empowering as an actor. Getting back into Tommy's head, is it familiar? I mean, it's always slightly dark and yet there's something quite enticing about it because everyone's, we all get drawn to the subversive, dark fringes of humanity, and Tommy is fascinating. So, yeah, I love it. Do I love him? I mean, I love the experience of making the show. I love the people. Sally is the best, I think. Drama, dialogue. Sarah Lancashire's obviously the queen, so... Yeah, I mean, I love going back to it. The world is familiar. Tommy is a dark, your sort of distant friend who you despise, but you can't quite tear yourself away from.
James, thanks for coming in to see us.
My pleasure.
I really appreciate the fact you made it in today, so thanks so much.
No, I loved it, always.
And good luck with everyone and everybody to do with Happy Valley Series 3 New Year's Day, 9 p.m. on BBC One.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
Be prepared to enjoy and be immersed in the wonderful world of Who, Vassos Alexander.
Ah, our next guest has been a national treasure since the 60s, and he's even more of a famous fox than the fantastic Mr. Fox, the fox from Foxy Bingo, and the fox in Fox's Glacier Mints combined. His new Christmas single, Boom Boom, It's Christmas Again, is out now. So, what did the fox say? Boom, boom, of course. It's Basil Brush.
Good morning, Basil.
Hello, 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 hello.
Yes.
Boom, boom, Mr. Chris. Oh, how difficult it has been to get us two together, eh?
With the strikes, and you're on
17th floor. My little legs ache just getting up here.
How was the commute?
Well, you see, I decided to beat the strike by getting on my bike. So I've done 10 miles on my little bike, right, getting here today. My little legs were going. And it was really funny because going along the embankment, people looked to their left and they thought it was Nicola Sturgeon. It's only little old me. And we're both ginger. We're both little. But I've made it finally. And here I am.
Well, well done. And thank you. For people who can't see this, by the way, this is all being filmed and we'll get it off and up wherever it needs to go for as many people in the world as possible. Could you describe your outfit? Which is amazing, by the way.
Well, you see, I'm looking at you and I. We're both in red.
Yes.
But I'm dressed as King. I'm King Basil III from Pantomime because that's where I'm rushing off to today.
Right.
And that's where I came from last night. I'm at the Theatre Royal Windsor where we're doing Sleeping Beauty. And as you can see, I'm in a proper King outfit with a crown as well.
And a Christmas twist.
And absolutely Christmas twist. And I'm rather hoping, you never know, one day I might be in a new, I might get a series.
I
might get a Netflix series looking like this. And Ginger is perfect.
Wow, that's perfect. God, there's so many questions. So talk about Windsor, first of all, in the panto.
Yes.
You like it at Windsor. You've been there a while now, haven't you?
Yes, this has been my 9th year there. I class it as my pantomime home. You came a couple of years ago with all your kids.
Yes.
Came to see us backstage. And I couldn't imagine being anywhere else at Christmas, opposite that magnificent castle. And believe me, the quality of their bins is superb. what you can eat. And, you know, we're hoping, rather hoping this year, that we may get a royal visit. You never know, because they do live opposite. And, you know, Kate and Wills would love to come, I'm sure. They're a little bit busy at the moment. But it would be lovely to see them. And for me, the Windsor audiences are like no other. Because I mean, when we do 12 Days of Christmas, they are raucous.
They are raucous. And we came on my wife's birthday. Do you remember?
Oh, I do. And we all sang happy birthday to
the
her
whole
as well.
Audience sang happy birthday to Tash.
So I'm rather hoping that she might come along. I mean, I have to say, the Windsor audiences are the most loyal pantomime audience that you will ever see or hear. They will be booking for their seats once they've been this year. They'll be booking again for next year.
And who have you had with you over the years on that stage?
Oh, my word. I mean, Anita Harris has been with us for the last 3 years.
Yes.
And both of us, can you believe, are celebrating 60 years in show business. She's an absolute trooper. We've got Stephen Blakely, who is from Heartbeat, is our dame. He's been there for 13 years.
Yeah, he's very good, isn't he?
He's very good.
Very
and
funny.
Martin Cabell-Reed, who is my current mister as well, and tours with me. He's the sidekick and he's the comedy element, alongside my good self, of course. And it is absolute great fun. I think we've been there for 13 years. I think it's either because we're very good or that we're cheap. I'm not quite sure which it is.
I don't think it's the latter, if you don't mind me saying.
Absolutely. You know, but it is quite fantastic, and it's my pantomime home, and they'll have to drag me kicking and screaming from out of there into the castle, maybe.
Let's just talk about the art of panto, because there's a lot more to it than meets the eye, isn't there?
Yes, I mean, the thing is, half of a pantomime is the audience taking part, screaming, shouting, heckling. You've always got to have some sort of comeback for the audience, you know, when they're saying, boom, boom, Bezel, or it's behind you, and it's not behind you. So they form half of the audience, and of course you've got men playing women, you've got women playing men, you've got foxes playing dads, you know, so you have to sort of like set it, it's an illusion. And
it
for
is.
The kids, it is obviously the first time some of them have ever been into a theatre. So they put down their iPads, they put down their Xboxes, and for some time, about 2 hours, they are actually kids again, Mr. Chris.
They're in the moment.
As are the grown-ups.
Well, we're all kids, aren't we? That's
we're
the
all
point,
kids at heart. You and I, we're both kids.
That is
heart.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, let's go back to 1962. So you're born, you were born this year. Sorry.
Flipping it. You're going back. Can I even remember that far
back? I apologise, but we've got to go there. Because I want to do the definitive Basil Brush interview. So you were born 60 years ago this year.
Born on stage and the audience liked it so much, my mother kept it in the act. Bomb, bomb! You have to think about that one for a second. One you let sit.
I'm loving this. But next year is your 60th anniversary in show business itself. So your first appearance was with the Three Scampies. What was that? What was going on there?
Correct. I mean, I can hardly remember that far back, but it was all in black and white.
Right.
Which is always such a big surprise to people when they see that I'm actually a natural shade of orange, like Anne Robinson and some of the others. You're just hanging in there. You're nearly a silver
I'm
fox.
Not really, to be honest.
Yeah, you're hanging in there.
Thank you.
But it was all black and white. And then, of course, it went on to the David Nixon show.
Right. Now, who's David Nixon for people who
David
don't know?
Nixon. Right, he was a magician.
Yeah.
Again, black and white. Yeah, very, never seen him in
He
colour.
Was a very cool customer, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was very good. He was sort of the first sort of art of putting magic onto the television screen.
Yeah.
And I was just had a bit part. You know, a very minor role in that.
What did you do? How did they fit a fox into what was going on with David Nixon?
I was just sort of like his assistant.
Right.
And I would just do the odd little joke, you know, just a little I say, what do you call a deer with no eyes? No idea. Boom, boom! I know you've heard it before, but I'm recycling, saving the planet.
Nobody does like you, Basil.
I'm saving the planet by recycling all jokes.
What about the merch? How has the Basil merch done over the years?
Oh, I mean, there's plenty on eBay now. That's a magnificent thing now, isn't it? How you can go onto eBay and go, blimey, I look a bit ropey there.
Yes.
And it's a toy from the 60s or the 70s.
Yes.
So I think it's magnificent, all this modern stuff, you know, on iPads and all of this.
Yes.
That, you know, merchandise from the past, little toy cars that I've got. So they're all out there and little mini puppets of me because I'm real. I'm not a puppet.
Of course.
Absolutely.
So for you, eBay is often MeBay.
Yeah, MeBay.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely.
You're smiling at me. You like that one, don't you?
MeBay. I'm going to have that. That's very good. That
all
is.
Right, listen, we're almost done. We've got to play Basil's Boom Boom. Yes, that's like half an hour. How fast did that go? I know. Boom Boom, it's Christmas again. Basil, you've got to have a quick word with Basil. Rachel, you've got to have a quick word with Basil. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Yes, absolutely.
Basil, what's your favourite costume?
The one I'm wearing at the moment, I've got to say, because I look like the king and everybody's parts when I walk down the street. They go, oh, look, it's the king. You know, King Basil III. And I have to say, if Charles needs a stand-in on his coronation day, I'm there for him.
Off you rock.
Give us the top joke from the Windsor Panto this year.
Oh, well, I don't want to give away the jokes in the Windsor pantomime, but there are lots of things going on. Everybody's going to get wet. There's lots of boom booms and lots of songs. But I say, what's the difference between folks who live in Dubai and folks who live in Abu Dhabi?
I don't know. What is the difference between the folks who live in Dubai and the folks who live in Abu Dhabi?
Folks in Dubai don't like the Flintstones, and those in Abu Dhabi do.
Yeah, Bamba Brush on the show today.
Here we go. It's Christmas again. Boom, boom.
Thank you, Basil.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
All right, we've heard from a bunch of incredible guests already, but still to come, Michelin star, best chef in the world, Angela Hartnett dishes the details on her foodie podcast, Dish. The cast of Frozen the Musical sprinkle festive joy with their show at London's Theatre Royal. And Lad Babies Mark and Roxanne Hoyle share all about their sure-to-be fifth Christmas number one on the bounce, the new charity single Food Aid. So let's get right back to it. Vassos, who's next?
She's one of our all-time favourite guests, especially when she turns up with food and a secret surprise, Nick Grimshaw. Her foodie...
Where is he?
Yeah, where is he?
I don't know.
Her foodie podcast, Dish, is available now, and it's all you could wish, because honestly, chefs don't come any better than Angela Hartnett.
Hi, Angela.
Ooh, you're so nice.
Don't leave
people.
Us alone next time.
Oh, that's
It's been
very
at least
kind.
2 days, hasn't it?
So, I know.
We had this lunch on Wednesday. It was at Murano in Mayfair, which is your restaurant. Of course it is. Can you take us through the menu? Because I was so excited about everything. The food was unbelievable. It was this white truffle lunch. Can you remember the menu in order? Because people keep asking me, and I didn't take one home with me, and I can't remember.
So we had little canopy bits, little nibbly bits. So arancini. Which are risotto balls. And then we had this, I think it was to you I described it, Chris. They're like basically cheesy donuts.
Oh, cheesy churros. Hollow cheesy churros.
Yeah, so these really hot sort of cheesy churros. Oh. That's it.
So
then
good.
We had a lovely fresh pasta with white truffle.
That was pappardelle, wasn't it?
Yeah, pappardelle. Yeah, yeah. Chris, I love it. You know, all the time.
No, I loved it.
You love it. And then we did this veal that we soak in sort of marinade in buttermilk, so it's really tender with wild mushrooms, celeriac.
And again, shaved truffle.
Little chocolate. And then creme caramel.
Creme caramel. And then something afterwards.
And then this lovely cheese called Vacheron cheese. It's like Vacheron d'Or. So it's like molten cheese. You put it in the oven, it melts and it's liquidy.
And it was over potato, wasn't it?
Over potatoes.
And I said this to Rachel and she said, I think you were having too much fun, you know, with the cold drinks. Because you just said you had a dessert, sweet dessert, and then a savoury. But it was. Because that's one way of having a meal.
Yeah,
isn't
exactly.
It?
Yeah, finishing off, and we had some gherkins, a little bit of sweet mustard, and then Vacheron cheese and a bit of truffle on top.
Tell us about the sweet dessert again. What was that?
Creme caramel.
So that was creme caramel again with white.
Yes, that was
being shaved
controversial.
White,
you know, not many people, but we thought it was a lunch. It was a nice celebration lunch.
All right,
so
you've missed out the Jerusalem artichoke, the artichoke.
Oh yes, God, you.
Yeah, with this amazing anchovy dip. Your anchovy dip,
yes.
I could live on that dip.
Oh, my God,
I could literally
of course.
Spoon it in my mouth with no bread, nothing,
yes.
for the rest of my life. And they could say, why does Chris Evans smell like that? Because all he ever eats is Angela Hartnett's anchovy dip. He eats nothing else. He had it once on a Wednesday at Christmas back in 2022. And ever since then, that's all he has. His children smell of it. He smells of it. His dog smells of it. Marlo smells of it. His Virgin Radio smells of it. And it's all because of Angela Hartnett. That dip is ridiculous.
Oh, that is, yeah. That's called it. It's a dip from Piemonte and it's called bagna cauda. So basically hot bath. And you basically melt down these anchovies so that it's like this liquid with olive oil, bit of bread in there, so it's a thickness to it. And then you take this artichoke, whole artichoke, you know, the big globe one, you rip it apart and you just dip it in.
Yeah.
And you just sort of, you know, and it is. And it's all get involved with your hands
it's
and not
really
worry
unfair.
About it. It's amazing.
It
was really good, actually. I forgot about that. Well done, Chris.
Now, we pretend not to like each other sometimes because it's good for, it's good bands.
Do we?
No, not you and I. Vassos, myself and Rachel.
Oh, right.
But we do love each other to death.
Of course.
And I think that I would like to take you two to Angela's restaurant.
I would like that very much.
Literally table for three. Nobody, yep. No partners, nobody else, and a table for three. Angela, if you'd join us, that'd be amazing.
Oh, I would love to, yes, definitely.
Because, and we should try and recreate that meal. That meal was... Yes. I know that you don't eat me any more, Vassos, but if anything ever...
Anchovies.
Brought
eat
you,
anchovies.
Well,
that's all right.
Anchovies is fine, that's all good, but if anything ever brought you back to this table, the veal was... The veal was on. I just wish it wasn't from an animal. I mean, I still had it, to be honest, but I just wish that wasn't from an animal because then everybody could have it. Your podcast, Dish,
thank you,
is the funniest podcast I've ever heard.
Oh,
and it's
that's
a cooking,
so sweet.
But it's a cooking podcast, but it's so funny.
Yeah,
you and Grimmy, your chemistry. You know, you might be up there. You might be. usurping Anson Deck with chemistry. You get on so well. It's like you're one person is speaking with two different voices from the same kind of soul. You're so good together, man.
I know. We went on like a speed date to see if we'd get on well. And I think we were asked all these different questions. Nick remembers it better than me. And he basically said, apparently one question was like, what do you put on toast? And my reply was, just anything. Anything's good on toast. What's the matter? And he goes, that's it. I want to work with her. That would be brilliant.
So Waitrose did a chemistry test.
Yeah, sort of in a sense.
Good for them.
Just to see how we got on. Because we'd met each other once, but we'd never worked together. And we just have both of us have the same sense of humour. He knows how to sort of poke to make me laugh and stuff. And now I know him well. I take the mickey out of him. So we get on really well. And he's good fun.
I think there's a couple of things.
And he should have been here this morning, so I don't know where he is.
I think there's a couple of strings to your secret of success as far as your chemistry is concerned. First of all, neither of you take yourself seriously at all. Mm. And you're the best chef in the world, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Bless. But
you wear that very lightly on your sleeve. And Nick doesn't take himself too seriously. And that's why he doesn't do what he used to for a living anymore, because people said, you need to take this more seriously. He goes, well, I don't want to take it more seriously. And that's absolutely fantastic. And also, you both love a laugh. You love life and you love a laugh. And you both love food.
Yes.
You know, Nick does like to cook.
He does. He likes to cook. He likes to understand what's going on. He'll always ask loads of questions. He always says he's going to recreate it at home, but he's never done that yet.
Yeah.
But he does love his food and he knows his food. He eats out a lot. He's like you. He knows it and he wants it. We need to get you on there, Chris. You've got to come on with the team.
No, forget the team. Jeez. Forget it.
Sorry, guys. I did extend the invite.
We call him the crane. Because even if you're first to the free food table, this big hand comes over your shoulder and he cranes in. And it's Vassos Alexander's big, I need some carbs because I'm going to the serpent and I'm going to crane it only because I've got to eat. I don't eat meat, but I eat everything else.
You don't stand a chance, do you?
But that's fine, isn't it, Angela?
That's all true.
So you want people in your restaurant.
I'm not clever enough to make all that up. That's all true. I'm just reflecting real life. Yeah. But the podcast is so good. So good. And it's great. See you. Great to see you. Always great to see you.
Love it.
You light up the world wherever you go. She's brought in homemade sausage rolls. You ready for this?
Yep.
Vassos can't have one.
So annoying.
Here we go. This is so Angela's annoying. Homemade sausage rolls.
I'm so sorry. I just forgot. Otherwise, I would have done you. You know, sorry.
You didn't forget. Stretch me around. Are you still vegan?
So I can't be making vegetarian sausage rolls. I wouldn't have the mince pie. I think I might have a little bit. That's mince pie.
All right. This is the podcast. Get it into your life. It's gorgeous. Oh, my goodness me. That's so good. You brought your mince pies as well.
Enjoy.
Savoury, frozen, and then we'll sweet. Okay, after that. So thank you, Angela. Happy Christmas. I love you.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
Baby, it's cold outside, but don't be sad, baby. Warm up with Lad Baby. Their latest bid for Christmas number one, Food Aid, is out now, with all the profits going to fight poverty and hunger. Bob Geldof loves them, and we love them. They are Mark and Roxanne Hoyle.
Good morning, Mark, and good morning, Roxanne.
Oh. Hello!
Hello, hello, aloha. Thanks for making time for us this morning, especially seeing as you're not together. Roxanne, explain what's going on this morning with you as a family.
Oh, our little boy isn't very well this morning, so he's not been very well. So I am at home being a mum and looking after my little boy.
So you're holding the fort and Mark is on the PR trail, but you're joining him now virtually.
I am. All right.
Mark, for those of us who don't know, and I don't know, I'm happy to put my hand up and say this. I'm, you know, never scared to ask what potentially might sound like the most stupid question in the room. But I don't know your origin story. How did Lad Baby come about, please?
You know what? It started about 5 years ago when I became a dad. I had no idea what being a dad was all about. So I thought I'd start a Facebook page. I thought I'd, you know, make a diary of my journey into fatherhood, changing nappies and, you know, being a dad, and try and make some friends online. That's then grown into what it is today, a platform where we try and just make videos, make people laugh, raise awareness of great causes. And you hear my terrible singing voice at Christmas, all in aid of trying to support the food banks of the UK.
Good for you, pal. It's not a win-win. It's a win-win-win-win-win. I mean, you could go on forever with
Thank
this one.
You.
And Roxanne, a little laughter goes a long way, doesn't it?
It does. It does. I think in times when it's hard, or even when you're parenting and you're feeling a bit low, or just laughing, dancing and singing through life has got us through most of the hardest times, I think.
And Mark, tell us about the first ever number one, We Built the City on Sausage Rolls. How did that happen? How did it come about? Where were you when you thought about it? And how quickly was the meteoric rise to the top spot?
Oh, you know what? It came about because I genuinely do love sausage rolls. And somebody, one of our followers who was following us on social media, said, oh, you know, have you ever thought about doing a song about sausage rolls? So, of course, we built this city on sausage rolls, a song that everyone already sort of sang already. We recorded it in October time and then sat on it for a few months thinking, are we mad? And then the hope was for it to make top 40 so that I could tell my friends I was a pop star.
Yeah.
And then we wanted to give all the money to a cause that was close to our heart. Rox's mum, you know, works at a food bank. And we thought if we could help people that are struggling at Christmas, then why not?
It's brilliant, mate. It's brilliant. And the one thing you don't want to do is sit on your sausage rolls for too long. So you didn't. And that was good. And what happened next, Roxanne?
Wow. So then there came year two where, you know, obviously the food bank still exists and we still wanted to make a difference. So the second song was born. And, that was a bit crazy. I think the first one for me was crazy. But I Love Sausage Rolls came. And we sung and danced to that. And shockingly, that went to number one as well, which was incredible because, you know, so many people supported it in the UK. And, that was an amazing, amazing thing. I think me and Mark just both aren't even in the music industry. So for the Trestle Trust as well, it was just an incredible, incredible thing for them because, you know, not many charities have number one.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Of course it is amazing. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing that you're doing. And it's no coincidence, is it, that before you came on the scene, the X Factor was ruling the roost with the Christmas number ones. And, you know, since you come on the scene, the X Factor's gone off the air. So do you feel any responsibility for that or, you know, any mitigation for that?
I mean, I'm sorry and you're welcome.
Now, it's funny, isn't it? Because is there any pressure with this? Because you're 4 years in and you come for your fifth year. And, you know, is there a meeting in, you know, sort of April, May, June, July time thinking, what are we going to do this year? Are we going to bother again? Should we leave at the top? Things like that. When did the Project 2022 kick in?
Yeah, you know what? We wasn't going to do one this year. Obviously, we did one last year with Ed Sheeran and Elton John. We did a great job and we felt like, you know, we was going to give this year a rest, let our kids have us for Christmas. But me and Rox became ambassadors for the Trestle Trust this year. And with the cost of living crisis, energy prices going through the roof, we knew that the best way to get everyone talking about the Trestle Trust and the need was for us to release a song. You know, that's getting this opportunity today allows us to talk about the importance of food banks. So, yeah, that was why we did it. And, yeah, we had the idea of doing Band-Aid and somehow it's happened.
Well, it's never happened before, you know, unless it was something to do with Bob himself directly or Midge or the two of them. They've never given anyone permission other than themselves to mess with their song. How did you swing it?
We just asked. We sent them an email 6 months ago and we said, we're thinking about trying to support, you know, food poverty in the UK. And they didn't hesitate. They came back straight away and said that some of the Band-Aid Trust had actually donated. They'd seen what we'd been doing over the previous years. They'd donated to our fund and they'd be honoured for us to give it a go, which totally blew us away. So, yeah, I mean, there's of course, there's pressure. You know, we're taking one of the most loved and, you know, well-known charity songs of all time. And we want to do it justice and we want to do them proud. So, yeah, we hope everyone loves it and we hope everyone gets behind it, gets downloading, and we get to, you know, help a lot of families this Christmas.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
Well, here I am with the cast of Frozen. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Good morning.
You are the best.
Oh, thanks.
I say that every week to everyone, but I really mean it this week.
We'll take it.
I never did the next bit, the I really mean it bit. Sam, great to see you.
Hello.
Congratulations on everything.
Oh, thank
Personal,
you.
Personal, professional, performative, otherwise.
Thank you very much.
It's all great. So the last time we talked a couple of years ago, how was COVID for you? How are you now? Not you personally, but your job and your production, and how are the audiences? Are they back with aplomb?
Yeah, I think it was a really tough time for our industry, but I do feel like because of that, there's
just such a joy in the theatre. There's so much love, and you can really feel that the audience is like, we've missed this, and we feel that energy.
Well, it was just last time you came on, it was just pre-everything, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In the West End. And it won all the awards in America on Broadway, so all you could do was mess it up, really.
Yeah.
But congratulations, because you didn't.
Oh, thanks.
And you've won all these awards, 7 What's On Stage Awards, 4 Olivier Award nominations. How has it been? Obviously, it's a marathon, not a sprint. How is it day in, day out? I know that you and your friends here, who we'll meet in a second or two, you were on stage last night. How is it every day, sometimes twice a day?
Yeah, do you know what? It's of all the jobs I've ever done, I think it's probably my favourite job. And the idea of singing Let It Go 8 shows a week is maybe an intimidating idea. But I never ever will ever get tired of singing it. It's like, it's really a joy to be on that stage.
Right, introduce me to your friends.
So we've got Emily.
Hi, Emily.
Hello.
How are you doing,
Anna?
Good, thank you.
Good to see you.
Jovan, who plays Krista.
Hello, Jovan.
Craig, who plays Olaf.
Naughty Craig. Hello, Naughty Craig.
Ollie, who plays Evil Hans.
Hi, Ollie, how are you? Evil. So unevil in real life, though.
I know.
Yeah.
And then Richard, who plays Wesselton.
Hello,
Richard. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks, Chris.
Okay, when did you get involved in this whole shenanigans, this whole sharabang of joy?
I fell into it in 2019. I auditioned and I got the role. Okay. And that's it.
What did you take with you song-wise, or did they tell you what to do to get in?
No, I brought a song.
What did you bring?
Do you know, we're just talking about this. It was called I Love You Because.
Right.
Which was a little sort of funny, quippy song.
Yeah.
And then they said, but we don't want to hear that ever again. And then they just said, we just want to see you for Wesselton.
He's
and guess
very
what?
Funny.
He doesn't really sing
very
it.
Funny.
Of course
in the
he
show.
Is. He's got funny bones, you can tell. Emily, you are the new Anna.
I am.
How long have you been honouring for?
Since September.
Okay.
So, yeah, not that long.
Did you sneak in and watch the show beforehand, before you took over the role?
Well, I've been with the show already for a year.
Oh, you have? All right. I see.
Yeah.
So you were there. Okay. And how was it stepping, you know, front of stage, centre stage? How was that?
Oh, honestly, it's... It really is a dream come true for me.
Do you still
I can't
get
lie.
Nervous, though? Because you do it every day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think I would say it's more adrenaline than nerves. But
right.
I think they're always a good thing, aren't they? Because yeah. I think it's important to use your nerves and, use them in the right ways.
Yeah, no, it's funny because stress either, because you have good stress and bad stress.
Yeah.
And what happens is if it's good stress, you get adrenaline. If it's bad stress, you get cortisol. And one paralyzes you and the other one, you know, jettisons you off like a rocket to the heavens. I'm presuming it's the latter.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Anna is, she's a very energetic role. So
of course she is.
a little bit of adrenaline.
You all look
really
fit as well. It's, you know, we are match fit, aren't you? It's like when tennis, no, easy. I knew you were naughty.
I'll take that.
The naughtiest.
I'm 63.
These thesps. No, but it's like the better tennis player you are, the less you have to practice because you play in so many matches anyway.
Yeah.
You just literally match fit all the time. Now, Jovan, right? I had
that's
the most
right.
trouble with your name. I do apologise. Because there's a silent D for a start.
There now, is.
That set my cortisol right off. Is it Jovan? Or it's Van der Vliet?
Yes.
Come on, where's that?
What a Dutch name.
Amazing name.
Thank
so,
you.
Are you. Were you born in the Netherlands?
I was born in Belgium.
Oh.
I've gone around and travelled around, lived for 4.5 years combined in Latin America.
Right.
But my family is Dutch and I do still say the Netherlands is my home.
All right, so you fulfilled the role of Christopher. How does he do? How does he, Christoph? Out of 10, would you say, gang? The rest of the gang?
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
the judges' scores are in, and it's 10 out of, that's 50 out of 50. Congratulations, Jovan. Did you always want to do this for a job?
Well, I started with it quite late. I did my first Amdram production when I was 19.
That is late, isn't it?
Yeah, I got the lead in that, and then the theatre bug just...
Why did you leave it so late, if you don't mind me asking?
I've taken more time to find what I've truly wanted to do. I'd always sung, I'd always played the piano, but I'd never gotten into theatre. I just didn't know a lot about it until I was about 16.
You have great hands, if you don't mind me saying.
You
do.
You.
You have very piano play. Because Elton
piano.
John doesn't really, but of course, apparently he did quite well with the other kind of hands anyway. He's doing all right, but you have very sort of dexterous hands.
Thank you.
Well, well done and welcome. So Olaf's here, Craig Gallivan. Tell me about you and Olaf. How is he with you? How are you with him?
Yeah, well, I'm very lucky because I've got a 4-foot-tall puppet that I cart around with me. So instantly...
Should we be talking about this on the radio?
Only 8 times a week and then I have a rest. So instantly the audience sees the Olaf that they know and love. So
where
it does a lot
where
of work.
Are you from?
Swansea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bravo, bravissimo.
That's Italy, right?
Yeah, but it's the Welsh choir. They sing that.
Yeah, they sing that.
That's what they sing. God, I'm only trying to be friendly. Jesus, and it's Christmas. So singing in the family, singing in the neighbourhood is was. Did you?
Yeah, me and my sister both sing. Yeah. We just went to youth theatre like as kids and sort of just one thing led to another. Still doing it. Yeah.
When you do this professionally, right, and you end up at a karaoke somewhere. Is that just all the fun? Do you choose to leave it a while, you know, let everybody else have a go, and then you go, over here, thank you.
You can't leave it too long, though, because then you might have had too many drinks, but yeah, you get...
See, that's when we think we're good.
Yeah.
But you know, because you're a pro, that's not necessarily where you, when and where you want to... What would you pick as your character? What about a karaoke? This Christmas, karaoke. Oh, wow. Off you go.
I like Let It Snow, you know, a bit of Bublé.
Let it snow, let it
snow. That's it, yeah. The remix.
You can't leave alone. I've got to ask you this. Sorry, it's a cliche question. It's quite predictable, but, you know, performing Frozen in the West End whilst it's freezing outside, does that add to the... does that help?
It really does. And the other day, we came out on Sunday and it was snowing and me and Emily got so excited, we made a little Instagram video, and after we were like, oh, I've got a little tear in my eye because it's so magic that the kids would come out and it's snowing outside.
It for them, I bet.
So magic, yeah.
Unbelievable. A little frozen tear.
Oh, yeah, a frozen tear. Yeah.
Frozen
Ding.
Tear. A signature frozen tear. Well, listen, you are awesome. I am giving out the website. Are there any tickets available now till March?
Yes, there are.
All right, okay. Frozenthemusical.com. You've got to go along to this. It's one of those things that when it's over, you go, why didn't we take the family to that? If it's within your means, get on, jump on frozenthemusical.com now. What are you going to play for us next, gang?
We are going to sing I Can't Lose You.
All right, here we go. Let's give you a bit of background while the gang get together and get themselves sorted out for this. This song was written for the stage adaptation of Frozen, first performed in 2019, and it takes place shortly after Anna arrives at Elsa's Ice Palace. Take it away.
What do you want, Anna? This. Just you and I talking and chatting and taking up space. And you look so at peace, which I did not predict after what all took place. I'm so sorry. I didn't know.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
Thank you so much for listening to this, the podcast of the Virgin Radio Breakfast Show. Don't forget, you can subscribe and get it every week from wherever you get your podcast, and you will never miss the weekly roundup of all the best bits from our Virgin Radio Breakfast Show with Sky.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.